Are you ready for the Word of God? All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Today, we're continuing our series on what did Jesus teach. This is the words of Jesus, all of it. And in my Bible, they're written in red. So everything here, Jesus taught. So get ready. This is what he said. Behold, I sent you out as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. But beware of the man. So be careful of men, for they will deliver you to the council and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you, meaning when they arrest you, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will be raised up against parents and cause them to be put to death. So it's talking about persecution. In history, we know that many propagandists and many governments would use kids and turn their kids against the parents and parents against the kids. In Muslim faith today, if a child would receive Jesus Christ as his personal savior, they would be disowned. Sometimes they would be killed. Honor killings, they call those. If a parent believes in Jesus, in some religions, the kids will deny them. So Jesus predicted this. He said this. Now, brother will deliver up a brother to death, and a father his child, and children will raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Whoa. And you will be hated all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Wow, this is some hard stuff. No hallelujahs on this. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he would be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, meaning prince of demons, if they call Jesus prince of demons, how much more will they call you, Christians, call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Talking about revelation. Whatever God speaks to you in secret, in your prayer life, speak it publicly. Whatever I said to you in your ear, go on the rooftop, grab a microphone, and yell out loud, tell everybody. That's what it's saying. Verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, some of you don't know Jesus because you think Jesus only talked about love. This is a hard saying. Talking about hell here. Talking about destroying soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper of coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hair of your head are numbered. 31. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. All right. Those are some tough sayings of Jesus. And that's not all of it. If you're really, really interested in knowing what Jesus said, read Matthew. Read the whole book of Matthew. Especially chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and on. I mean, you'll really be surprised. I think you'll learn a lot. So we're talking about persecution. And today my topic is, how do we respond to persecution? How do we respond to persecution? Now, is there persecution in America against Christians today? In the United States, I would say there is no direct persecution of Christians, okay? However, there has been a rise in aggressive kind of secularism in which people are becoming more intolerant of Christianity. It's not hard to see that Christian ideas, symbols, and activities are being demoted in our culture. For instance, Merry Christmas is being removed and Happy Holidays or Winter Holidays or other things are being moved in. God, the word God is being removed from almost everything, and there's atheist groups who are suing, even trying to remove God's mention on their dollar bills. In God we trust. Ten Commandments is trying to be removed. Happy Easter is being replaced with Happy Bunny Day. And I mean, there's just so many. Christianity is becoming more and more unpopular. Some Christians have found that their beliefs are unacceptable with their employers. On TV and through media, Christians are portrayed as hateful, intolerant, judgmental, homophobes. It's not uncommon for Christian character to be presented in dramas, on TV dramas, in movies, as narrow-minded and maybe hiding evil under their religion. So the culture is producing prejudice against Christianity. You're Bible thumpers, you're this and that. Now, I wouldn't call that persecution per se, but I would say it is a mild form of persecution. If you look throughout the history in the last 2,000 years, persecution has come in waves, like the ocean waves. They come in and they recede. They come in and they recede. And you know what? If you are a Christian, Bible says that you will be persecuted. Now, if you're a secret Christian, you will not be persecuted as much. I've heard this said, preach your good news in church. Nobody wants to hear it. But if you're a Christian and you understand that people, if you believe the Bible and the words of Jesus, if you believe he's the Son of God who rose from death, was buried, killed, buried, 3 days later he rose again, then you cannot not preach the gospel. Because you know, if people don't believe in Jesus, they will go to hell. And so, because you're loving, because you want to bring peace to people, peace between God and people, Bible says you will be persecuted. Now, if you don't talk about your faith, if you don't share your faith, people will not persecute you. But as soon as you start living your faith, talking nicely, lovingly about your faith, you will be persecuted. Amen? Jesus knew this. And he said it on many occasions. Paul said that those who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. So you don't get persecuted. You probably don't talk about your faith. Probably people don't know about your faith. I remember in first or second grade, I think it was second grade, because I was hiding, because I grew up in a communist country where people hated God. Atheism was the religion, you know. There is no God. Churches were destroyed. I mean, bombed and destroyed, removed. So people would meet in the houses. And I remember that for a year or so, I went to school. And my teacher knew that I was a Christian. But I didn't tell anybody that I was a Christian. Because I was just like another kid. Little troublemaker, just like everybody else. You know, my age and my attitude, my personality. So for a year or so, nobody knew that I was a Christian. So nobody bothered me. Nobody called me names, nothing. I was just another kid. And I liked it that way. And then my teacher decided to announce that I was a Christian. And I was sitting there at the third row, you know, on the right side. And she announced that I was a Christian. And kids didn't know how to respond. And she said, kids, you got to laugh at that. That's embarrassing. He's believing in God. He prays to God. And then she used some slang words for like Bible thumper, fanatic, or things like that. And then kids started laughing. And from that on, something changed in me. Because now I couldn't be hidden anymore. I had to talk about faith. I remember in third grade, I had a friend and he was kind of close to God at heart. And he would ask me questions about God. Third grader just would have questions about God. And then I would start talking. And then more people would come. And I would start talking about God. And teachers like, what are you guys talking about? You know, and just try to break us off. Because I was talking about God. But like I said, if you don't talk about your faith, yeah, you won't experience much persecution. But Jesus said here, if you deny me, I will deny you. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you're a true Christian, you will talk about what you love. If you're kind of lukewarm Christian, then maybe you hide. If you're not a Christian, you'll hate anything mentioned about Christianity. Amen. So, but Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted. All right. So today the big question is, how do we respond to persecution? Point number one, and I'm going to give you 7 quick points how to respond to persecution. Love those who persecute you. Okay. Matthew 5:44. Go back a few chapters. Matthew 5:44 says this. Again, Jesus in red. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So number one, point number one. Love those who persecute you. That's a hard one. How do you love somebody who persecutes you? Isn't the natural response of human beings is to fight back? If somebody talks bad about you, don't you want to bring something against them and reveal their sins? If somebody says, hey, you know what I heard about John? And John says, oh yeah, you know what I heard about him. You know, so the natural response is to say something back. And Jesus says, as a Christian, you should respond differently. Love, listen to this. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said this. He talks about love, right? Let's put that on the screen. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you know that you can be persecuted? You can give your possessions to feed the poor. Listen to this. You can be burned alive, and many were. But Bible says if you have no love, it doesn't mean anything to you before God. Whoa. Now the opposite of that, you say you love people, but you don't do anything, right? That's bad too. But this way, a person gives away their money. They sell all their possession. So why doesn't it count for them? The answer is because they do it out of pride. They do it to show off. You know, a lot of politicians, when they get in trouble, they get caught with in somebody else's bed. And so what they do is they go on Oprah, or they go on Larry King, or what's that guy's name? Piers Morgan. And they start saying how sorry they are and how they're donating money to the Kids Society or to... This just reminds me of something. How many of you like Justin Bieber? Okay. He's a cool guy. But last week I heard something on the radio. That dude started urinating in a bucket. And then there was a picture of Bill Clinton there. And he started cursing. Okay? Search it out if you want. I mean, I don't know if you heard this or not, but it was on the news. I don't know how much Justin Bieber paid to not be seen a lot, but it was there. When people got mad at him, he called Bill Clinton and apologized and decided to support his foundation. Somebody said he gave like $500,000 to his foundation. Okay? Now, that seems to be like a good thing, right? But in front of God, it profits him nothing. Nothing. See, God also cares not how much you give, what motives do you have? A lot of people give to show off how loving they are. Inside, they're full of hate. A lot of people talk about how we need to help the poor, and they raise money for the poor, but they hate the poor. How many of you watched the show called Revenge? Kind of a bad show on Sunday nights. Kind of a cool show. In that show, that rich lady, what's her name? Vicky? Victoria. Victoria Grayson, she raises money for the poor to these foundations. But when this young man comes to date his daughter, he's like, he's a trailer trash. Yeah, right? What does it profit her? Nothing. Yes, in the eyes of the world, yes, they love her and they applaud, they adore her. But in the eyes of God, profits me nothing. So when we do something, when we give, it's got to be out of love. When we're persecuted, we cannot respond in hate. You cannot be saying, yeah, I'm burning at the stake, but you will burn in hell, you son of a... Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be watching from heaven, and you'll be begging like the rich man, give me a little bit of water, and I'll say, right? That's not out of love. God says, Jesus said, and Jesus is God. He says, when you're persecuted, love. Have a new attitude, different attitude. And guys, it's not natural for us to love those who persecute us, those who talk bad against us. And so we have to ask Holy Spirit to give us that new attitude, new feeling to love those who persecute us. Number two, bless those who curse you. Chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Huh. Imagine somebody just cursed you out. What do you do? Somebody just said, you came to somebody and you said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He changed my life. And they say, blanket, blanket, blank. You're Jesus and you're Christ and you're devil and you're God and God D and this and that. Right? What do you do? Bible says, bless those who curse. Don't just leave them having the last word. Bless them. Imagine this. An enemy sends a missile towards your house. Bible says, send one out as well. So it destroys it. You see what I mean? Two missiles come and collide. Now, but let me just give you an example. About 5 years ago, Andre was there with me when I was running a crew for a tree service. We hired a man just for one day because we had a huge, busy schedule. I mean, we were just behind and we needed more people. So we just hired a person for a day to help us get cut up. And this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was climbing this tree in the backyard and then I came down and I just sat there with all my gear, spikes, belt, you know, all the chainsaws. So I just like sitting there. Here comes this man. He was kind of talking to himself most of the day, okay? But he was a good worker, so we're like, okay, we'll keep him, you know, but he's talking to himself. That's okay. In tree service, it's not much, you know, you just pick branch, pull it, you know, whatever. It's just labor. It's physical labor. It's not. So here I'm sitting, and he comes to me. He points his finger at me and starts talking to me in a bad tone of voice in a language that I couldn't understand. Andre, you were there, standing on the right side of the... And he starts cursing me. I could tell it was cursing. What do you do in that situation? Bible says, bless those who curse you. I got up, was sitting, got up. I pointed my finger at him. And I started praying in the Holy Spirit. And you know what Bible says when we pray in the Holy Spirit? We bless. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16. If you wanted to look it up later, we bless when we pray in the Holy Spirit. So I turned to him and I started blessing him in the same tone of voice that he was talking to me. The dude freaks out, starts ripping his hair, starts yelling, no. Andre, he was going cross on me. He was really pulling his hair, saying no, 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 don't do that. See, when Satan, next day I meet him, we didn't hire him back again. I meet him next day and ask him what happened to you. He said, I didn't take my medication. Notice he wasn't blessing me because he didn't take his medication. He was cursing me because he didn't take his medication. But because I started blessing him, his curse was, whatever Satan had desired to do me harm. Because why do you pronounce a curse? Curse means dry up, die. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, what happened next day? Died. That's what it is. And most people, when we are under curse, when you're walking under curse, you're like dry. Have you ever had a day when you had no energy? No, nothing. You're just dry. You're just drying up. You're dying on the inside. And God says, when I bless you, you become alive. That's what happens in praise and worship. When we give God praise, He fills us with His Spirit. We come alive. We get energy. That's what happens in prayer in the morning. Sometimes you're just like, all I need is 10 cups of coffee today. No, maybe you need to pray a little bit and receive that energy. Receive that strength from the Lord. Those who have no might, He increases them with might. Hallelujah. I began to bless him and he couldn't stand it. I could stand his curse, but I didn't like it. But when I started blessing him in a language that I didn't know and he didn't know, he couldn't stand it. Started doing crosses, started pulling his hair and leaving. There's crazy stuff going on. There's a lot of people who are not walking with the Lord, let's say, as they should. Okay? I bless that person. What do you do when people talk bad about you? And you know what? What if somebody comes to you and says, listen, do you know what so-and-so said? What do you want? How do you want to respond? The response should be, I bless that person. I bless him. How do you bless that person? How?
What does it mean to bless a person? We'll get to that.
All right, number three, do good to those who persecute you. The third one is do good to those who persecute you. So you got a person who doesn't like you, who hates you. You don't just love them. You don't just bless them secretly, but you do good for them. You see them in need. You're driving on the highway in the middle of the winter, right? And you see their car and their tire is blowing. You don't say, ha ha, look at you. The Lord paid you for being my enemy. No, you don't do that. You stop and help. If the person is in need, if the person, you know, asks you to help them something, do it. You know they're your enemy, but do it. Do good to those who persecute you. Amen. Number four, pray for those who persecute you. That's Matthew 5, same verse. You have heard this said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, people really hated him at that time. I mean, they nailed him to the cross. It hurt. Satan himself was present in those people. And instead of saying, Father, curse them all, or not even saying anything, he said, Father, do what? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's love, people. That's love. And he prayed for them. Father, forgive them. So don't just love them. Don't just bless them. Don't just do good to them, but also pray for them. How do you pray for them, right? How do you pray for people who persecute you? Pray like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. Pray on their behalf. Number one. Then pray every blessing that you can think of. Father, bless them with great health. Bless them with healing in their body. Bless their children. May there be happiness in their life. Bless them financially. Bless them with their work. Bless them on the highway. Bless them in their homes. Whatever area, you begin to bless them. Now, what does it do? Well, you speak blessing for them, but sometimes you get more in return than what they get. Because what if they're evil and they will never change? Well, God is not so much interested what happens to them, although he is interested in them. He's interested what happens to you, to your heart. Because when you begin to pray for somebody, your attitude, your heart begins to change. Pray for that ex-husband or wife. Pray for that bully in school. Pray for that boss who were abusing you and using you and who were not paying you what you deserved. Pray for them. Pray every blessing on their life. Amen? That's number four. Number five, avoid persecution if possible. Avoid persecution. Matthew 10:23. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for surely. So let's stop there. So when they persecute you in one city, flee to another. Don't go looking for persecution. Don't go looking to say, I want to be a martyr for Christ. There might be something else wrong here if you're saying that. Now, persecution is inevitable if you are following Jesus. If you're following Jesus, if you're living for Jesus, persecution is inevitable, so it will happen. But don't go looking for it. Did you know that Apostle Paul tried to escape persecution? Did you know that Peter tried to escape persecution? One day Peter got arrested and they put 16 soldiers around him in his cell, making sure he doesn't escape. The angel of the Lord comes at night and says, come out, Peter. And Peter says, oh no, angel, I ain't coming. That would be not right. I want to be killed for Jesus. Did Peter do that? No, he didn't. What did he do? He said, okay, let's get out of here, angel. Let's do this. Let's skip this joint, you know. Prison break, yeah, whoo. Right? So we're not looking to be killed. We're not looking to be abused. We don't have some kind of a crazy syndrome to try to get hurt. But when we preach the gospel, when we preach peace with God, the world is not going to like it. And so, naturally, there will be persecution. But avoid persecution if possible. Be wise about it. Don't go standing in somebody's face, like I said last week, and say, receive Jesus or be burned, damned to hell. That's it. A person will say, fine, I'll go to hell. I'm not accepting your Jesus because of your attitude. You got to do it how Jesus did it. He did it with love. He did it without judgment. He cared about the heart of people. And not just to change their outward appearance.
He cared about the heart. Pharisees cared about the outward appearance and not the heart. Jesus cared about the heart.
Number six, stand strong in your faith and don't deny him. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before man, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before man, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So number six, stand strong in your faith and don't deny him. Persecution is there to pressure you to deny Christ. In 1999, April 20th, in Columbine High School. How many of you remember that story? Some of you are really young, so you don't. But in Columbine High School, two young men, self-proclaimed trench coat mafia, okay, came to school with weapons, pipe bombs, and they were just shooting people. They came to the library, and Eric Harris, one of the shooters, came to 17-year-old girl whose name was Cassie Bernal. That's the girl. Held a gun to her head and said this, "Do you believe in God?" Now, what you don't know is that 2 years ago, Cassie was a rebel. Cassie was into witchcraft. She was into drugs, alcohol, sex, all kinds of things. She was just horrible. She was just running from everything. And one day, some young people invited her to youth camp. And she went. This is later. The youth pastor talks about her and he said, when she came, I looked at her and I said, this girl has no hope. This girl is dressed. She has the attitude. She's full of hate and anger. 15 years old, just wild. She has no hope, but let's see what God will do. And in 3 days, God touched her life, transformed it. In 3 days, read the story. It's beautiful. She came home and parents could not recognize her. How fast, in 3 days, she changed. And she said, Mom, Dad, I have changed. Something different is about me. And parents didn't believe it at first. And she's like, Mom, you don't believe me. I'm going to prove it to you. Those are her words. And for 2 years, she was a part of her youth group. Just 2 days before this incident, she gave a testimony in front of her youth group about how God transformed her life. On her hand, she wore a bracelet, "What Would Jesus Do?" And she always carried a Bible to all her classes on top of all her books. She didn't care because Jesus has so transformed her life. Now, Eric Harris, the shooter, he knew that. He knew that girl. She used to be a part of his crowd, part of his team. But now she was different. And when he saw her in the library as he was shooting people, he came to her and said, "Do you believe in God?" Her friend Kevin, who survived, Koninger, later said, Cassie paused for a lone moment. He said, I think she knew she was going to die. And finally, response came. Yes, I believe in God. The trigger was pulled. True story, 1999. You know it. Michael W. Smith wrote a song about it. Other people wrote a song about it. She said, yes, I believe in God. What would you do? I'm too young to die. You know, we never know. See, 1 Peter, if we can just finish with this scripture. 1 Peter says this, 4:1 says this. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Arm yourself with the same mind, for he who suffers in flesh has ceased from sin. What does it mean, arm yourself with the same mind? Get the same attitude. What if someday, I had to deal with this, and this hurts. Because I was like, I read so many stories about Christian persecution in dark ages and how they were tortured for days and sometimes months. I was like, Lord, I'm a pastor. If anybody, that's the first one they go after. And that's why I post all those posts on Facebook. So you would like stand up against all this secularism, trying to remove Christianity out of a daily life. Because I know, I see where it's going. I've already been a part of persecution. Americans, listen to me. You have to defend your faith. You not obnoxiously, not with anger, but with love. You have to stand up for the truth. When you hear persecution happening, at least like it on Facebook so people know you're supporting it, meaning you're standing with those who are being persecuted. Pastor Saeed right now is in prison being tortured for like 3 years in Iranian prison because he wouldn't deny Christ. Put a like after that. say something that you're praying for it. I'm going to read this again. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. Be prepared. That's what it says. Be ready when it comes. Because when you live for God, you will be persecuted. Hopefully, it'll be mild, just like it is now. But sometimes, not sometimes, 150,000 plus people get killed every year for being a Christian. The world will never like you unless you become like them. But as long as you're a Christian, Jesus said they hated me and they'll hate you. They'll hate you. But that's okay. I'm going to finish. Blessed are the persecuted. Happy are the persecuted. Verse 10. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a reward. There's a reward. Jesus said, you got a reward. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know, life does not end on this earth. And compared to billions of years, because remember, it's eternity, meaning don't end. Compared to billions of years, this life is like a vapor. Have you ever been outside and went like, how long does the vapor last? Second or two, right? And then it disappears. Same as our life. Our life is short. Eternity is long. And Jesus said, listen to this. I want to excite you about something. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. Heaven has rewards. A lot of people say, as long as I get to heaven, but heaven has rewards. Different places in heaven. And I know in heaven there's no jealousy or greed. But some of you will have bigger houses than others. Some of you, your clothing in heaven. Some of you will have just gowns, white gowns. Some of you have royal clothing. Some of you will have medals hanging from your chest. And for eternity, when you walk. Now remember, there's no greed there. And that's not why we do what we do, so we can get a medal in heaven. That's not what we do. But that's just Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. There's rewards. Some people, heaven is big. There's many cities. There's one big city, New Jerusalem. Not everybody's going to live in that city. Remember, heaven is eternal. So it's like some of you will live like way in the end of heaven somewhere. Some of you will live close to the throne of God. God says, I will walk with them. Some of you will sit on thrones and judge. Some of you will be helping God discover new universes, not discover, build or whatever. You know, God says, I create a new thing all the time. God didn't stop creating. And this is probably not the only universe that God created. There's probably more. Remember, He's life. So what does life do? It wants to give life. Just like a woman, when she gets married, she wants to have babies. Just it's in her. Same in God. God is full of life and He wants to give life to the fullest. He's not death, He's life. Everywhere He comes, everything blooms. Everything comes alive. Light comes in. So don't be afraid of a little bit of persecution, temporary. It's not going to last forever. It comes like waves. Because for eternity, you don't die. Nobody ever dies. Nobody ever dies. Human beings don't die. For eternity, you'll be with God. You will be. If rewards matter for Him, then it should matter to me. So I'm not doing it to get a reward. I just want to get to heaven. Really, guys. But Jesus said, if you suffer well, you'll be rewarded well. And listen, if you haven't dealt this with in your heart, one thing you have to understand, that God will give you strength. Thing is that people who were burned alive, where did they get that strength to stand there for 5 minutes, for... Some of them sang. Some of them prayed. Where do you get the strength? God will give you strength. You won't do it in your own strength. Now, don't go seeking to be persecuted, right? Don't go looking for it. But if it happens, don't be afraid of it.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart. And now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.